Well, hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to this last class that we're going to have on our subject of reconciliation. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I hope that you have been having a wonderful day and a blessed day, and that you're honoring the Lord in your life, and I know that you are, and honoring His Word. You're doing that by being here right now, by the way, not necessarily in with me, but around God's Word, that you discipline yourself to be around God's Word and what it says and to find out more of what the Lord would have you to know. Today we're going to go back into our study of reconciliation, as I said, and this is the third letter R. Study that begins with the letter R and the ABCs of Christian growth. It is study number 18B, the third study. And we've been over about five different classes so far, and this will be the last one, and it'll probably be a short one. And the only reason is because we don't have that much to go over anymore. We've been over reconciliation and all of the doctrine of it. And the facts and the truths and what reconciliation is and all sorts of things. So I think what we're going to do is we're just going to recap and just go back over and refresh our memories of what we have learned since we've been in this study and just hit the highlights of it and the truths and finish this thing out. Reconciliation, as we said before, when we began this study, before we even got started, we understand that reconciliation is a very important factor, a very important thing, along with many other doctrines that took place at your salvation or at a new birth. When somebody is born spiritually and God the Holy Ghost enters into them and they are born into the family of God and they are quickened by God the Holy Ghost, their spirit is quickened, many things happen at that time, both in God's courtroom, around God's justice, around God's mercy, around God's righteousness, having to do with all sorts of things that go on. It is amazing, and in the ABCs, I've been trying to get all of these, get a lesson on every one of these, because back 30, 40 years ago, whenever somebody was born again, the very first thing that the pastor done was handed them some sort of study material having to do with these very things, to let that, to the very first thing they taught that new born again child of God was all of the things that actually happened to them: justification, redemption, propitiation, remission, expiation, imputation, regeneration, spiritual circumcision, adoption, sanctification, glorification, and what we're studying today, reconciliation. All of these things have taken place and are taking place and will continue to take place until the Lord's second coming. And some of them will, and some of them have been completed, and some of them will. That's why every one of them need to be studied. And my mission is to get every one of these under a title in the ABCs of Christian Growth as a lesson, so that every one of them can be studied. And I've got several of them in there, many of them, I think. But this is reconciliation. And you can see by our study and what we've been through already that reconciliation is a very, very important thing. Not only spiritually and doctrinally, but having to do with a Christian's future, or with not only a Christian's future, but a human being. A human being, if reconciliation plays a role in every human being that is born on this planet, that comes into existence, that is a being, reconciliation either is going to save them from God's wrath, or it's going to condemn them. Because reconciliation has been made available for everybody. Talking about being saved and having salvation and going to heaven rather than going to hell or being under God's wrath and the damnation and condemnation of the Lord be upon somebody forever. Reconciliation. Everybody is going to run into an intersection where reconciliation is there. And they're either going to be reconciled, they're going to confront reconciliation somewhere. And they're either going to choose to be reconciled, and it will take place after they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, or they will deny it and turn their heels up to it and turn their shoulder to it and try to find some other way to get into God's favor, which we understand by the Scriptures is never going to happen. Never going to happen. If people would just... But that's why the devil goes out of his way to keep people away from the Word of God, because the Word of God tells people the truth about what is and what is not, and what's actually going to take place in somebody's life or not take place, and what to do about it. But if you don't have the information, and you don't know, you don't know, or you've been lied to, then you're in trouble. It's everybody's responsibility to find out how to get right with their Creator. I mean, you're out here, you're on a planet, on a ball of dirt, out here in the middle of space in a vacuum, traveling at thousands and thousands of miles an hour through space. And nobody knows how to control it. Nobody's in control of it. But somebody is. And there are people that will tell you that he doesn't exist and that it all just kind of blew up into existence, a big bang, and all this sort of business and all this. I mean, people come up with some of the most stupidest, foolish, comic book strip kind of reading and understanding that you would believe that, like a man being a woman and a woman being a man. I mean, it's just that stupid. But reconciliation stands, and it will either take place. I'm sorry about I don't know. I'm trying to pick my words and trying to figure out where I'm going here with this. But I'm just trying to recap about this, about the importance of this thing. I can't get this importance of reconciliation across as much as I want to, I think. But it stands with these others. Redemption, propitiation, remission. It stands with them as very important topics and very important doctrines and very important things that take place in a Christian, in a person's salvation whenever they are born again. We went over that. And then we moved on into our actual study itself, and we began to define reconciliation and used scriptural illustrations, if you remember. We had five different definitions that we actually defined, and we looked at Scripture to illustrate and to understand that the Scripture backs up these definitions when it comes to reconciliation and it meaning what its definition means. The first one that we went over was the act of reconciling parties at variance, renewal of friendship after disagreement or enmity. Remember that? And then the second one was the means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God from natural estrangement and enmity. And about this time right here, this is one of the ones that we stayed on for a little bit and dwelt on a little bit, having to do with going out in some different avenues of that you cannot be reconciled unless you first understand that you are estranged from God, that you are at enmity And there's an understanding having to do with reconciliation, not only for the positive part of it, being reconciled back to the God, but for the negative side of it, that you have need to be reconciled. What does that mean? That means you're not reconciled to God. In other words, you're a stranger to God. You're an enemy of God. You're under His wrath and His condemnation. And He will damn you if you die in that state. You see that thing? In the world today, they try to make religious and Christendom all positive. I'm all right, you're all right, everybody's all right, da-da-da-da-da-da. And no negative. Yeah, everybody can be reconciled to the Lord, reconciled to the Lord, reconciled to the Lord. But you'll never hear a pastor stand up there and say, you are a sinner before the eyes of God, and your state before God right this very minute, if you are not born again, is that you are under the wrath of God and the condemnation of God. And if you get up out of that pew and you trip and fall and break your head open and you die and go into eternity, you will go to hell. You won't hear any of that. Christianity has done weeded out all the negative having to do with God's Word and don't want to hear it. And you got all these educated people trying to positive. There are polarities in life. Positive, you cannot have positive without having negative. It's impossible. It's an imbalance. It's not a complete circuit. It doesn't work. The means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God from natural estrangement and enmity. We understood and we learned from that definition that people are estranged from God. Every human being is, even babies when they are born and infants when they are born. And God has provisions for that sort of thing. But the bottom line is, man has an Adamic nature and he's cursed with a curse. And it's not because of what he does, it's because of what he is. He is born that way. A cat doesn't become a cat after its birth. It's a cat when it's born. And it starts showing cat things like meowing and scratching and climbing and all that sort of business whenever it starts growing. Man does not become a sinner after he is born because he sins. Man is a sinner from the womb. And when he is born, he starts exercising things that a sinner would exercise. You see that thing? That's very important to know. And most Christians do not understand one bit of that. They've never been taught that. They think that their Christianity and their state before God is that they need to be good. And they need to do the things that are right and pleasing before the Lord. And they do. But when it comes to heaven and hell, that has absolutely nothing to do with their state. You can be as good as you want to be and die, and many of them have, and go right to hell. And there are many religious people in this world that are going to do that very thing. They're going to be as religious as they possibly can and do the things that they think God, that wins God's favor, and convince themselves that they have God's favor. And then they're going to die and they're going to understand that that book was right from the beginning. And they made a very bad mistake by not believing it. The third thing is that agreement of things seemingly opposite, different, or inconsistent. Reconciliation. reconciliation. The fourth definition that we studied was the reestablishing of cordial relations. Husband and wives getting back together and that sort of business in the New Testament. And relationships between Christians and between people and man and man and man and woman and all that sort of business. Reconciliation. Has absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven or hell. Got to do with getting a relationship back together and where it should be. In unity and in unison. And where it's beautiful again. And there were some instructions in 1 Corinthians that Paul addressed concerning that thing to keep it that way. And how to avoid troubles like that. So moving on, we went into the fifth definition, and we talked about it briefly, getting two things to correspond. And remember, we talked about the temple and the altar and the horns of the altar, and we talked about the tabernacle and the sacrifices and all the things, and that the house, not only do people need reconciliation? Do relationships need reconciliation? Does man's state before God need to be reconciled concerning eternity, heaven and hell? But in the Old Testament, articles, things needed to be reconciled and made proper before the Lord before they could be used as instruments in reconciling man back in favor with God. I mean, used in the temple. The house itself had to be reconciled. The holy place needed to be reconciled. The tabernacle, the altar, all of this stuff had to be sanctified. It had to be sanctified and brought back and reconciled to the Lord and made sure that it was in sanctified before the Lord so that reconciliation could be made upon it. I mean, you just couldn't bring any old spoon or any old fork or any old piece of bread or any old kind of blood or any old kind of fire. Or you do it in any old kind of house. You just can't do that with God. And God gave warning, and He gave instruction, and He gave all the ordinances of how things needed to be done, because I am God. And if you want to have anything to do with me, this is the way it has to be done. And if you violate it or alter it, it's going to cost you. Ask Aaron's sons. God burnt them alive just because they took the wrong kind of fire into the temple. And they were some big shots among the children of Israel. They was Aaron's sons, priests. But God killed them. He fried them. He burnt them. So you see this thing, the definitions? We had five different definitions, and then we left that, and then we went into a area that we entitled First Things First. And that's where we got into the deep part. Oh, well, I say deep. I don't like using that word, but we got more in-depth. I guess that's deep, ain't it? We got more in-depth about this thing about understanding that there can be no reconciliation until there's a complete understanding that one is in a lost and estranged state. If you don't understand that you're lost, how can you understand how to be reconciled? If you don't believe and understand that you are in a lost state and estranged from God and condemned by God and under the wrath of God. And folks, don't take that lightly, because many, 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 many people do not believe that. They just cannot believe and will not believe that God could be their enemy in any situation or circumstance. But according to the scriptures, they're wrong. Because anybody that has rejected Jesus Christ in this age and will not receive Him as Savior and believe on Him, I mean, it's not even getting to that point. That is like a life vest being thrown to somebody that's already drowning. And that's the condition of the world. The world is already in the sea and they're drowning and they're trying to hold their head above water. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are life preservers being tossed out to them. And they can either take hold of it or not. And the majority want to try to find their own way to stay above water. And they drowned. And they die, and they go to hell. That's just the truth, folks. But we went first things first, and we talked about that. And as we went through it, we understand that is why the gospel was brought about. That's why God brought about the gospel. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, was this thing of reconciliation. God figured out the perfect plan to reconcile man and his lost state, his creation, back to himself in a perfect state to where everything can be the way it was before. No sin. You see that thing? And the Lord worked it out. And it's in the process of happening. It happened to you. It happened to me. And we're just waiting on the Lord to come and get us and finish it up with us. Change our bodies. And completely take sin out of our minds, out of our consciences, out of our being. Completely change our bodies and fashion our bodies like unto the Lord Jesus Christ, glorious body, and give us the mind of Christ where we won't even be able to imagine anything ugly, sinful, or despicable, or foolish. It just won't be possible. I don't understand that because I can't go through a day without battling something like that in my mind. Can you? I don't know anybody, and I don't think there is anybody, I know there's nobody, that doesn't have at least one occurrence per day in their mind to have to battle sin. Temptations. Things presented before you, the enemy throwing things in your eyes and your ears and this world. And if you just get in your car and drive down to 7-Eleven and back, you're going to see 100 things that are going to try to tempt you to sin. And one in your thinking or in your eyes or in your imagination or in your mind or in your memory, something. Yeah. We are in a state of losslessness. Lost, I guess that's a word. We're lost. And we need to be reconciled. And that's what we talked about under this part of first things first. And then when we got to the latter part of that portion of our study, we began to talk about the gospel and present the gospel to whoever needed to be born again. And we paused and we said, let's just take a minute and talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we gave an invitation for people to be saved. And it's there. And praise the Lord for anybody that did accept and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that could have happened on this study. That's exactly what reconciliation is all about. Exactly. It's somebody to be reconciled back to the Lord. Saved. And then after that, everything starts anew and afresh. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when we finished that up, then we kind of all come together as brothers and sisters in the family of God, talking about just all the avenues of reconciliation and what the Bible has to say about it. We talked about the condition of man before he is reconciled. And does the Bible teach that? Yes, it does. It teaches that he's helpless and without strength, that he's a sinner, that he is the enemy of God, and that he is hostile, indifferent, and a God-hater. And many will just keep on denying that. I don't hate God. I don't hate God. Then why don't you accept his son? Well, blah, 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 blah. You're a God-hater. No, I'm not. I'm not a God-hater. I don't hate God. I can not hate God and not accept his son. Not according to Jesus Christ, you can't. The Lord said, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And if you reject him, you've rejected the Father. And then we talked about how reconciliation is accomplished. Remember? And it's by God being in Christ, by the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Word of God. That's how it's accomplished, reconciliation. And by the way, reconciliation having to do with eternal matters as far as going to heaven and going to hell, those are the facts and the truths having to do with how it's accomplished. But also, after a person has been born again, those things still stand by God being in Christ. That Christ is actually deity, and he is your Savior. And he has the power to back up what he says he's going to help you with as a child of God and as being fellow heirs with him in the family of God. And by the death of Christ, Jesus Christ, God's Son, his death did not stop being effective when you got saved. It's carrying you right on through this life that you're living right now by its power, helping you through this sinful world and to make it through until the Lord comes, or either we get raptured out of here or you die and you go be with the Lord. It's helping you now. And it's going to be there. The Lord's death is going to be there and stand true. It's an eternal thing that has happened, the Lord Jesus Christ's death. It's something that's going to be in eternity, or that is in eternity. It happened in time, yes, but it is an eternal matter by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord's, we are cleansed by the Lord's blood every single day. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's that blood that does the cleansing. And by the Word of God. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 3, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You cleaned up by the word. And we stay clean by the word. And that's what we're doing this very second. So you see, that truth, how reconciliation is accomplished, is not only for your eternal state, but also for your being and your walk as a child of God. And then also carries on into eternity when we go to be with the Lord, when we are with the Lord. And then we left that part of the study and we went into another one. And it was entitled, The Benefits of Being Reconciled to God. And what a wonderful thing the Lord has done for us. And it continues to be. And we should remember on purpose. And the Bible says the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sometimes we do have to sacrifice to tell God thank you and to remember and thank him on purpose, whether we feel like it or not, of what really has taken place. We now have peace with God. I mean, it's a load off of you by itself that you don't have to walk around worrying about how not to go to hell. Isn't it? Yeah. And one now has access to God. We can talk with the Lord anytime we want to. Anytime we want to. And whether Jew or Gentile, you're no longer under the curse of the law. I'm glad the Lord's not sitting there and having his angels stand there with the... all of our words are being recorded. The Bible says we're going to give account of every word that proceeds out of our mouth. So there's a recording. They're recording what's going on. But the Lord's not sitting there looking for something to condemn us for having to do with his law. Oh, you run that red light, you're in trouble. Oh, you did this, you're in trouble. Oh, you did this. It's not that way with the Lord anymore. You're not under that curse of the law anymore. The Lord, the law doesn't apply to you. You're family. And when you mess up, the Lord doesn't come at you like a judge. He comes at you like a father. Come on, son, let's get this straightened up. How are we going to do it? Are you going to confess? Or am I going to tear your hind end up and help you out with it? You see that thing? These are things that we need to be thanking the Lord for on purpose. You say, thank the Lord for a whooping? Yeah, that's what Paul said. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And not to be downhearted and not to be discouraged by the chastening of the Lord. And not let it get you down to where that you walk away from the Lord and you go down to the liquor store or go to the dope man again. Just thank the Lord and know the Lord's got your best interest in at heart, and he does. He's helping you to be partaker of his holiness and making you more holy like his son. And one is no longer under God's wrath and damnation. That's worth every day thinking about and thanking God for. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not going to hell. Thank you, Lord. Have you ever thanked him for that? Thank you, Lord, that we're not going to hell. Thank you for saving us from hell. Thank you, Lord, that your wrath is not upon us anymore. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that I'm not damned. Thank you for not damning me, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done to keep your Father from damning me. Yeah. We should thank him on purpose for them things. And one's reconciliation to God can never be undone. I mean, God's not what they should call an Indian giver give you something, and that's the way some of these religions are. That's the way some of your religious teachers and stuff like that, and your Seventh-day Adventist and all these different religions out there and stuff like that, trying to teach you that if you're okay and I'm okay and everybody's okay, but if you mess up, it's not what the Bible teaches, folks. That's not the way God put salvation together. And Christ's blood doesn't just pay for your salvation for a temporary amount of time until you mess up. That's not it. Read the Bible. Understand what God says. And these people are being deceived, and they've been taught the wrong things in the Scriptures, and they're not rightly dividing the word of truth. And they're messing things up and messing doctrines up and messing people's minds up and people's thoughts about God's, about being in a good state with the Lord and being reconciled to the Lord. I mean, religion messes up God's word. One's reconciliation can never be undone. We read Scripture concerning that. Now, we went into the last portion of our study, which I think was the last lesson that we did, was some warnings concerning reconciliation. Remember that? Some warnings. Reconciliation is a privilege and a gift and not a right. Remember that. It'll go a long way with you in your walk with the Lord if you remember that. That you being reconciled to the Lord is not your right. It's a privilege and it's a gift, and it remains that way all the way up until you see the Lord face to face. And I promise you, when you look at the Lord face to face and look into His eyes and look at the Lord face to face, you're not going to have any problem knowing that your reconciliation is a privilege and a gift. You ain't even going to cross your mind about it being a right. And being reconciled to God, now you're a child of God, and God is now your Heavenly Father, and He is your Heavenly Father literally. He takes His fatherhood seriously. This is not a comic book strip or animation on a television about these dream gods and these imaginary gods and stuff like this. Our God is real, and He's a real Father, and He is a Spirit. And those that come into Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And your spirit has been quickened and made alive. And it's attached to your soul, and you are a spiritual being. And God deals with you as a spiritual son. And deals with you as a physical son, too. I mean, he'll get busy with your flesh if you don't straighten up. And we should take, the Lord takes His fatherhood seriously, and you should fear that. You should understand that the Lord is not, He's not a pacifist. He is merciful, and He is gracious, but He's not a pacifist. He don't just let things slide. Do you understand that every single sin that is, has, and is going to be committed against God's law has to be dealt with? I mean, every single lie, every single murder, I mean, from the very smallest, most innocent thing, even ignorant sins, sins that you sin that you don't even know you sin, they are on account, and they have to be dealt with because God is holy. And they're going to be dealt with one way or the other, either by heaven or hell, or either by God's fatherhood, or either by Him disciplining you, or either by you confessing it. The Lord has made many, many different ways for sin to be taken care of. Every sin. That's why when you confess your sins as a child of God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, plural. You confess one sin, He forgives sins. You confess as many as you know. And confess them all. But He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just because you come to Him and you're honest with Him about the sins that you know to confess, He cleanses you from all of them. You see, God justifies His forgiveness and His cleansing and His sanctifying and His reconciliation matters. What else? Some warnings concerning reconciliation. There were a couple more. God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. You remember that? God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. You'd be good to keep that in the front part of your mind because it shows the seriousness of God's justice and the seriousness of time, because time does run out and there is such thing as too late. It really, really is. I'm glad it's not too late for me, and that the Lord saved me, and I'm glad He saved you, and I'm glad when He saves anybody, and I'm glad to and honored and thankful to be had any part in anybody's salvation in any way, and so should you. And that's the way that we ought to think about it, because God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. He won't even talk to you about it. You're gone. Not you, but an unsaved person. That's important, don't you think? Very important. So let's go ahead and close out this study. Thank you for your patience and your long suffering and mostly your devotion to your Lord and to His Word. I want to talk about a few facts about reconciliation as we close and we end, just to end with, and just bring up a few things and then go ahead and close our study. First thing, a fact about reconciliation is one of the many things that took place at your new birth, at the new birth of any child of God. It's just one of many things that have taken place. And you need to know the other things, and you need to study them and understand them. I think right now, anybody that's been in this study with us and has stayed with us and learned, I think you understand doctrinally, and you understand what the Bible means by reconciliation and the different avenues of reconciliation and who it applies to and the truths that go along with that. I believe you, if somebody asked you and said, what is reconciliation? You could completely understand it and explain it to somebody now and be right and backed up by the scriptures. Couldn't you? Yes, you could. Amen. All right, that's all. There's no more about reconciliation in the scriptures. We've been over it. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm that thorough, but the Lord is and His Word is. Another fact, reconciliation has to be accomplished in God's courtroom of holy justice, just as importantly as it was with His mercy and grace for the believer. And that's what we was talking about the many things that take place whenever you're born again. There are many things that go on behind the scenes, brothers and sisters. In other words, the legalities of salvation in God's courtroom have to be taken care of and filed away. Or, as the Bible says, taken away. You need to understand that there's a lot of legal things because of God's holiness that were very critical and needed to take place whenever that, and that the Lord put it all together perfectly to happen if you would just accept His Son and believe on His Son. And He makes every bit of it happen. And the process goes through the court and goes through this and goes through reconciliation and adoption and goes, I mean, adoption goes through court, imputation, all these, the regeneration, all these things. Reconciliation, that's a fact, had to be accomplished in God's courtroom of holy justice, just as importantly as it was with His mercy and His grace that we know that He bestowed upon us, allowing us to become believers. Another fact, reconciliation was God's plan to offer to man, not man to offer to God. There's never going to be any instance or circumstance to where man is going to give God the layout of how he's going to be reconciled back to God. I think God gets tickled sometimes and kind of giggles and laughs about how stupid man behaves sometimes when he says, well, God, you know, I think I could just do it this way and this way and this way and blabbity blabbity blab blab blab. And the Lord just kind of yawns and it probably kind of makes him upset a little bit because he thinks about his son and the suffering that his son went through. And the Lord Jesus Christ sitting there at his right hand and some fool down there trying to say, you need to reconcile with me because I know Greek and Hebrew and I'm somebody. Or I'm a pope. Or, I had a vision. You know, all that sort of nonsense. Anything goes. But reconciliation was God's plan to offer to man. And it has been set, it's established, it's doctrine, it's truth, and it's written, and it's given to man, and it's been down through the ages for 2,000 years now. And any man that has accepted it has received it, and believed on it has received it, and has been given God's promise. And it's been executed in his life. Anybody that has rejected it has suffered the consequences and is still suffering the consequences and will suffer the consequences. That's it. Fact. Another fact, reconciliation was bought by a price. And God paid for it himself. No man makes any kind of contribution to salvation. God put the plan together. It's a perfect plan. He loved his plan. He got all of the things that needed to bring it about. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He shed the blood. He died. He was buried, and he resurrected, and he ascended back to the Father. And the Lord paid the price himself for man. No man can make any kind of contribution to be reconciled to the Lord. Fact. Another fact. No man can offer any kind of deal to God to reconcile with him concerning sin and his soul except it come through the Lord Jesus Christ with his death, burial, and resurrection. All other offers and attempts will be rejected and denied with disdain. How dare you? That's the way God feels about it. How dare you? After you've heard the gospel and what my son went through and what it cost him and the plan that we put together for you, and you're going to try what you're trying? How dare you? That's how God feels about it. He doesn't appreciate people trying to come to him any other way than through Jesus at all. That's a fact. Another fact, reconciliation in the Old Testament, now get this, and there are studies in the ABCs of Christian growth that take us through these matters. Don't try to ball all this up and get it all messed up. We rightly divide the word of truth and we learn piece by piece by piece. But this is what it is. Reconciliation in the Old Testament and the New Testament in the tribulation and in the millennium are not the same. The way that you earn favor with God, not earn, the way that you receive favor with God and are reconciled back to the Lord are different in the Old Testament and the New Testament and the tribulation period and the millennium. They are not the same. And we need to study that out so you see and you understand and you know that the Scriptures teach such a thing. And they do. Now, a lot of you preachers don't even know that kind of stuff, because they're tied up in Greek and Hebrew and all the imaginary originals that are out there that don't exist. Another fact. God has made reconciliation to Him so easy that even a child can understand and receive it. I mean, that ought to blow people away right there, that an almighty creator and an almighty God and all-powerful God has put a plan so simple together that even a child and a child's way of thinking and in their adolescence and their in their mind and in a child's way of thinking, that a child could come to the Lord and be born again and be reconciled to the Lord and for eternity. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what man does? He goes and he sticks his snoot up in the air and he brings his chin high up in the air and he gets his books out and he says, "This is wrong in your word, God, and this is wrong in your word, God, and this is a mistake, Lord, and this should be this and this should be that, and we're going to help you out, Lord." Children don't do that. I've never heard a child say, "Well, you'll never see a child whenever he's presented the gospel or presented with a truth from the Word of God say, 'Well, the New King James says,' 'Well, the NIV says,'" you'll never hear a child. You'll never hear a child say anything like that. They don't even think like that. They wouldn't dare put God in that kind of shame that God made a mistake in His Word. They believe God's Word. They don't question it. And that's the way we should do, is that we don't question it. We accept God's Word and we trust Him to teach it to us right. And we rightly divide it. Because we love Him and we honor Him and we're not proud and we don't think that we are higher than God's Word and that we're somebody. Because we're not. We are privileged. Fact. And here's another fact. The need for man's reconciliation back to God began in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, that was the fall of man. That's where it all started. That was where it began. You can go and read Genesis 3. I'm not going to read it, but part of this study, as far as our scripture goes, is Genesis chapter 3 for this study right here. Go and read that, and you'll see where this matter of reconciliation began, where man was separated from God. He was separated from the Lord, and that's where it began. And that's where, actually, that's where Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where the Lord announced that there's going to be a plan for reconciliation. That's where He first talks about the Lord Jesus Christ fixing the thing that happened there in Genesis chapter 3 of the fall of man, Adam and Eve, and mankind, humankind. Isn't God wonderful? He's wonderful. So there's some facts, just some closing facts concerning reconciliation. Been a good study, hadn't it, brothers and sisters? Been a good study. Okay, well, this concludes our study on reconciliation, and thank you for your love and your faithfulness to God and His Word. Being real enough to actually study and honor the Lord. A lot of people say they love the Lord, and they say they're faithful to the Lord, and I love the Lord, and I'm faithful to Him, and I love His Word. And when's the last time you read His Word? Well, Brother Thurman, you shouldn't say. Why not? That's 90-something percent of being a Christian. When you're born again, is being associated with God's words. And out of all the things that the enemy attacks, the number one thing on the list that he wants to take away from every Christian is the Word of God. Doesn't that speak volume to you? It should. The Lord bless you and yours, and help pay your bills, and pay your bills. He pays my bills. He pays your bills. He takes care of us. He gives us all sufficiency in all things, doesn't he? All sufficiency in all things. Our cup runs over. It really does. Have you ever had your cup run over with the Lord? Just enough. I'm going to have enough, Lord. I have enough. Have you ever been able to say that to the Lord? Lord, I have need of nothing, Lord. I have need of nothing, just to be close to you, just to know your word, just to, Lord, let me see, let me hear, and let me understand your word. Amen. It's been good in this studying with you, brothers and sisters. You know, reconciliation and friendship with God really form the basis of all rational and true enjoyment. You can't get any joy and enjoyment and truth without being reconciled and being friends with the Lord. Being friends with the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, that ends our study of reconciliation, study number 18B, the third letter R in our ABCs of Christian growth. And if I haven't poked another R in here somewhere, LMNOPQR, we'll be going into S. Yeah, I still have to do my ABCs. I'm glad I got enough memory to be able to do it. But I love you with Christ's love, and thank you for honoring the Lord. Keep on. Don't you ever quit. You keep on all the way to the end, brothers and sisters, all the way to the end. Let's honor the Lord and honor His Word. Honor His Word. I'll talk to you on the next one, our next study, whatever it is. Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian growth. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.